Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Ben Burt, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town.
Population you?
Population Hinchcliffe.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
We bring in a sniper, a guy who first of all, we've done his podcast, Kill Tony. It is fantastic.
If you haven't listened to it, it is in many ways like, it feels like a good companion to this podcast because it is regular people who don't have a lot of experience doing 1 minute of stand-up, and then Tony and a group of comedians.
We try and unpack their lives. Like, who are these people? Like, through the window that is the 1 minute of their stand-up, we then dig into who
they
are.
Did we do that right? Did we get it kind of right?
No, you're absolutely right. Insane characters we meet every single week.
Insane characters.
The coolest part about it is to see it live, because it is done live every time.
And it's just so spontaneous and random. It's fun for me. We've been doing it almost 5 years, every week out of the Comedy Store. And last night, we pulled a lady out of the bucket that is a vegan hippie that uses her own menstrual blood to do the gardening. She mixes her period
blood. I bet her
blood.
Plants are ridiculous.
Right. Little Shop of Horrors.
I just like, those plants will... But there's one point in the month where you just don't want to garden. Exactly. You just don't want to get out there and do it.
And there's one time of the month where you don't want to visit her garden.
Yeah, because it's an angry garden.
Yeah.
Angry Garden, is that a band?
No,
Savage
Garden. It was actually Savage Garden is a band.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden is a band. And then Wicked Garden was a Stone Temple Pilots song.
True.
Kindergarten
is a kindergarten is where our kids go. Dan, how are you? How are your kids?
They haven't found me yet.
Okay, right. That's perfect. That's a good thing.
It's positive.
Perfect. What we do on this show, as we all know, and as... basically,
hopefully some new Kill Tony fans who are joining this show right now are going to find out.
We know that the world is getting dumber. As we sit here, the four of us in the circle that we're in, the world
even
is...
though Todd Glass wants to argue against that.
And we'll get to that in a future episode, but we already recorded it, so we're bending time right now. But I will say this, the world is getting dumber as we speak, and our only way to fight back is through comedy. You know that.
Yep.
You know that. The only way to fight back, and so we have our dumb ears on the ground. They're the best. Our Dumb People Town fans. The Facebook page is phenomenal. They find stories out in the wilderness. They bring them back to us. Dan has the stories. We have not seen them. Tony, sure. You have not seen them either.
I don't know what's going
to
happen.
So the four of us try and break it down in the best way we know how, which is try to understand what were the 10 decisions that led to all the behavior that's there.
Beautiful.
We guess the age, we guess the bail, we guess all that stuff, and
guess
I bet we have
what led to this?
What led to this?
What happened the day before?
Sure.
When did this altercation actually start?
Right. When did the drinking start?
We try and figure it out.
Based on when the person was arrested, you can really can sort of backdate it.
Or if it's like a work fight, like a workplace fight, then you know that there's been like weeks of people being like, really like it if you stop saying that to me, man. Yeah. Stop saying that to me, man. Yeah. If you could, that'd be great. And then more like, one more time, dude. Say one more time.
And here we go.
That's a smoking break fight.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan, we'll kick us off with something, please.
This was sent in by Larissa at The Girl on the Wall, but she spelled girl, G-R-L. There's no I in girl.
Surprised she didn't go with Larissa explains it all, right?
Well, that would work, yeah.
You know, tie a little switch.
Jay's knowledge of children.
Larissa.
Jay's knowledge of tweener female shows.
Yeah.
Gary Roy Moore-esque.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, okay. Safety Harbor, Florida.
Of course it's Florida.
By the way, Safety Harbor, Florida, nothing safe about it.
I know, right. It's a lie in the name.
There's a lie in it.
Have you performed in Florida?
Yes.
Where?
And?
It's...
scary as shit.
Yeah, it's scum. It's just disgusting.
Come on.
It's like if all the humans were like that one bug guy from Men in Black, the guy that's like a bug underneath his skin.
Yeah.
That's what all the people there are like.
So you had great shows.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Insane people love me.
They kind of do. You open up to
you do, but you open up a thing with insane people like a dialogue, and that's how we get there. So again, let's try and understand what's happening.
Bug guy. Vincent D'Onofrio, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or Charlize Theron. I'm not sure, but I think
it was Vincent D'Onofrio. You think Charlize Theron is in every movie?
Well, according to some people, I do.
You actually thought it was called Game of Thrones.
And that
you
thought it was a story about that. I'd watch that Bravo show.
Game of Thrones?
Yes. Yeah.
It'd be phenomenal.
A Grinch. It is the holidays.
A Grinch.
I wanted to find us a fun,
Here we go.
Themed story.
Okay. Right. Safety Harbor, Florida.
Safety.
The Grinch.
Safety Harbor, Florida. Florida. There's the news talk.
That's sort of sing-songy news talk.
A Grinch who tried to steal Christmas was busted.
Ooh.
That's not really even a full, it's not a well-structured
A Grinch who tried to steal Christmas was busted.
A Safety Harbor man is accused of stealing Christmas decorations from one yard and then...
putting them up in his own yard.
Putting him up in his own yard. That isn't...
Man. That's something a lot of people, I think, want to do, but then you don't act on that.
You'd have to go outside of your neighborhood. You have to have ho-ho-hos in different area codes.
That's right. There
you
it is.
There you go.
There it is.
You can't just steal from around the corner.
You need to steal things that you can consume or unload.
This
but you
is
don't
exactly,
steal something and then display it.
This is exactly like those two people who murdered that pregnant woman and then took the baby outside of her in her and left her in like a plastic thing by the river so that they could raise the baby as her own.
Which also happened in Safety Harbor, Florida.
Thank you. Probably did. So, I mean, on this on level of severity, this is the exact same thing.
Right. Do you think also, too, I just imagine this guy, like, doing this with his kid, and the kid being, like, Russ from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where he's constantly like, I don't know about this, Dad.
And
he's like,
shut up and grab the lights!
Shut up, Russ.
Yeah. What's there to not get? We're Rusty? Taking them from their house.
Russ?
We're putting them in front of our house. People are going to think we bought them, like, in one night. Like, all in one night, we got these things.
It says their name on the reindeer. Good talk, son. Go to bed, Russ.
You want a beer? Okay. Cindy Meyer and her family have been putting inflatables up in their Safety Harbor yard for years.
They're kind of asking. I mean, I don't want to blame, like, look what she's wearing. She's asking for it, but put inflatables in your yard.
So
that's very
blaming
the inflatable victim on
this.
It's very stealable.
Neither one of the Sklars do inflatables then?
No.
At all?
No.
Tony, would you do
in Youngstown, Ohio, where you grew up, would there inflatables?
No, that would be pointless. Yeah, they would get shot, and there would be holes in them.
By the Youngstown Mafia, of which your father was a part of. May or may not be a part of.
It could be the Italian Mafia that would shoot them, but I would guess on the gangs.
Gang Mafia.
It's a good pellet gun game.
It's like shooting inflatables on a lawn.
Right.
Which is really a phrase about how easy it is to shoot things.
Quote.
Super easy.
Cindy Meyer says, quote, we've been doing this for a long time. We've lived here for... a few years, and every year...
Why is she being so vague about how long they've been there?
More and more
when you
to
say
our collection.
How many years have you lived there? If you've lived there for 4 years?
I think she's full of hot air, like her inflatables.
I hope that when she said to the police officer, we've lived here a few years, or the reporter, they said, oh, so you don't get it yet. You don't understand
well,
yet.
Stick around. Hang around, and you'll see. We thought it was going to be a safe harbor.
It's a family tradition the Meyer family looks forward to every year. They like to run out here, hug the inflatables, and give them high fives. I mean, it's a big deal to them. This article does not say at all who she is referring to.
Who is them?
I hope it's her trained Labrador.
Who is they?
I think they is the neighborhood.
So
right?
She blows up these things with their mouths. Yep. The whole family. Just exhausting day.
Yeah.
Annual day. It's inflatable blow-up day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then put them on the lawn and wait for people to come by and
high-five them. Right?
Wow.
So Safety Harbor is a safe harbor for fugitives.
Mm-hmm. Well.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Ready for this name? Police say that one man did not have a jolly soul and stopped by to try and steal the Myers Christmas. That man's name is Michael Fitzgerald.
Not Fitzgerald. Somebody, I feel like someone stole the D off his last name, and it's just payback all the time.
He ain't got that good D. You know what I mean?
He ain't got good D.
I feel like this is a lazy person at Ellis Island.
It is.
Close enough, man.
What's your name? Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
I got it.
Nope.
I just wrote down Fitzgerald.
Michael Fitzgerald. And you know how many times he's gotten his Starbucks cup wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Fitzgerald? No, it's no. Gerald.
Nope, not me.
Fitzgerald?
Do people leave off the E on Hinchcliffe?
Yeah, it's silent.
That's silent, so everyone.
But a D is not so silent.
No.
Well, it is in this case because it's not there.
Michael Fitzgerald.
Let me put it to you this way. Nobody ever writes Hinchcliffe.
Well, and also this, like, when you think about it, if the D represents his dad, no offense, Dan.
It's fine.
I'm guessing that
his isn't
D
there,
is not
neither
around.
Were there.
Neither
the
D's
D
were around. Name and
are you saying this because I abandoned that boy?
Mm-hmm. I am.
He's accused of stealing, ready for these Christmas decorations?
Yeah.
A 9-foot shark, a T-Rex, and a penguin beach.
By the way, you're asking for it.
Yeah.
You don't deserve... If you're trying to put that out for a Christmas decoration...
Hang on a second.
I mean, we're Jews, so we don't know a lot about Christmas.
When the Christmas penguin comes, yeah, help me out with this, both you guys.
They spread frankincense. He gives out the frankincense.
To the sharks.
Yeah. To the sharks, who then vomit it back up in the manger, that's how Jesus was born. Is that
Jesus
right?
Jesus was born into, like, shark throw-up, right? And then everyone's like, they hold up the shark throw-up and the baby, and they're like, this is our Lord.
And there was a penguin on the beach in the background.
What if there's three townies who listen to this show that are like, this is where they cross the line?
Sweet.
They were with us for, like, labia being made into necklaces. They're with us for everything, but you guys did a shark vomit Jesus birth, and they were like,
a shark vomited Jesus birth after the penguins.
And you didn't even include the T-Rex.
Well, the T-Rex is just there watching over it.
He brought the frankincense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you guys a picture of this
stuff
of the shark. You tell me what this has to do with Christmas.
Okay. This will be on the Facebook page.
Whoa.
It's a shark with a Halloween jack-o'-lantern on the bottom of it.
And what looks like a car behind it.
Eating a man.
Well, we're an elf, it almost seems like, right? The shark's eating an elf.
I love that you think it's green pants. It could be a golfer. It is Florida.
But then look at, they put a Christmas hat on the fin. That's aftermarket.
Yeah. That's an aftermarket hat.
Aftermarket Santa hat on the dorsal fin of a shark.
It's like, don't know Subaru come with a spoiler, right?
I'm going to say this. If I'm walking by and I think to myself, I'm going to steal, and I see them doing this, I'd be like, they don't even care.
Yeah.
Or me stealing this is doing a favor to Chris. Like, maybe he's not saying, like, I'm going to take what's here so I can ruin their Christmas. I'm going to do this to save Christmas.
And by the way, sometimes you have to take things away to make Christmas better for everyone.
We've strayed, is what he's saying to this woman.
Maybe there's some things we're not noticing that make that more Christmassy.
Like?
What?
Like, maybe there's, like, a Santa hat on the dinosaur's feet signifying Santa what? Claws.
There you go.
Santa Claus. There we go.
And maybe the, see what I'm saying there?
The dinosaur has a scarf and a hat. Also possibly aftermarket.
You know the way dinosaurs oftentimes got cold necks, and that a lot of people don't realize that had there been more scarves, maybe they wouldn't be extinct today.
They would have survived. Right. They also could be,
you know, their tiny little T-Rex hands could not knit the scarves in the way that you need to. They couldn't come together in the way they need to.
Who else doesn't have hands that could do that? Penguins. And
sharks.
Sharks.
Thank you.
It all comes together.
There it is.
Things without hands on your front lawn.
Quote,
men without hands.
The Grinch came and actually tried to steal our Christmas decorations. I don't think tried is...
No, the guy took them.
He did it.
And on Saturday, my children were
very
upset.
The jack-o'-lantern, by the way, makes this... You don't have now a claim that these are Christmas decorations.
You don't have a Santa's leg in a shark's mouth to stand on.
Agreed.
It's true.
In this argument.
On Saturday, my children were very upset, and they insisted that we go back to the Lowry Park Zoo, which I hope is named after Mike Lowry from Bad Boys.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I went to school with a Mike Lowry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he has a zoo. He bought a zoo.
Perfect.
He has a great steak rub as well.
Lowry seasoning, salt, and pepper.
Put those on French fries.
Those French fries are damn good.
Yeah, I know. Lowry Park Zoo. The kids wanted to go back to the zoo to see Santa for a second time and specifically ask him to help get mommy's shark inflatable back for Christmas.
Well, they could wait till he's done at work and then goes back to his one-bedroom condo and they can ask
him. Just ask him there. And I don't know, kid. Whatever your mom needs.
This family's creepy, man.
By the way, is that where you, as Jews, we didn't do this, but is that where you go to see Santa at the zoo?
I mean, they probably do like a winter nights like thing with the animals.
I mean, you keep doing this "we're Jewish" thing.
I'm sorry.
We only have a couple holidays.
That's right.
All right. So let us do whatever crazy shit
we want. We want sharks. We want T-Rexes. Let it be.
But like, I don't ever associate Santa with the zoo. Who's ever like, hey, man, you want to go to the zoo? Why? To see Santa?
Like
no one has ever said
nights.
That.
Let me riddle me this. If you went to an exhibit and it was Santa throwing his own feces at another Santa, you would watch that.
Of course
you would go to the zoo to see that.
I'd find out who's been naughty or nice.
Right?
Yes. I'd watch that at Exhibit's house.
And I would, while he was pimping my car.
A good Samaritan let the Meyer family know that they saw the missing inflatables at a home on Shore Drive 3 miles away.
3 miles away.
Not far enough.
You said, you got to have
ho-ho's in different area codes.
You got to send that to your baby's mama across town.
Yeah,
3 miles.
Imagine that guy, too. Hey, Come out here.
Look what I got.
I can tell you where your inflatables are. Training for a half mare. Don't worry about that.
This summer, Eminem in a story of Safety Harbor, Florida.
Yes.
Called Three Mile. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. Your inflatables.
Hey, man. It's a short. It's a three. I'm giving you credit.
Meyer said that Fitzgerald, quote, did finally admit to police that he was just drunk and it was a stupid idea. Which makes me hope he was sitting in his driveway when they pulled up. All right.
Sitting in his driveway just talking to his knee.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys first off. It's just a dumb drunk idea. I know what you're here for. Actually,
but he's the guy who aggressively tells them to cuff him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or cuff me!
Or he said, it's just drunk. And then he started to trail off, like, with everything in his life. It was
just a bad idea.
Like,
however,
he's realizing.
The bad idea was to himself.
That inflatable ghost with the Santa hat on it, that one's mine.
By the way, there is no inflatable ghost out there.
Oh, shit.
I got the tuna, the raptor, and the, a donkey.
No, okay, that's a T-Rex.
I'll try.
We three kings here, man. I got the three kings right here.
The three things that Christmas you can't have Christmas without. A T-Rex, a shark.
I love that. I got the fucking coolest Christmas decorations. And you know, he's last night, dude. I drank so much eggnog, dude.
Uh-huh. Hey, glove, bro. I hope that he was like out there just setting them up. Like, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I went shopping. By the way,
shopping.
I told you. I texted you. I heard. I was at a friend's house who was playing Christmas music, and I heard whoop-de-doo.
So hip-de-doo. And Dickory Duck. Yeah, just the worst Christmas lyrics.
I was like, I can't. I just kept thinking of you being like, how is this a Christmas song?
I have no idea.
Whoop-dee-doo and Hickory
Christmas
Duck.
Songs are fucking crazy.
They are crazy.
I was on a drive. Where was I going? Riverside the other day or somewhere weird for a gig. And all the playlists on iTunes, it said Christmas playlist.
So you're like, let me fire this shit up.
Yeah,
on the
tis
way
the
down.
Season. Right?
Here we are. Same way.
And it's creepy. All right, the first one on the top of the iTunes playlist was Mariah Carey's hit All I Want for Christmas. Which is basically, if you listen to it, she's trying to like
get
Santa Claus.
She's trying to get laid.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's only one thing I need. One thing
I
you need.
Need.
You wouldn't. She doesn't say one person.
She said, give it to me, Santa.
She's looking for that D.
Yeah. She's looking
at the end of Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's right.
That Fitzgerald D.
The missing D from Fitzgerald.
Wow. So yeah, no, that's what that song's
she
about.
She wants to be all up on that North Pole. You know what
and
I mean?
The,
she wants to get some of that coal in her stocking. You
and
know what
the
saying?
The idea of her.
I don't know what that means.
She wants
on
some
on.
Of that Comet and Cupid. You know what I'm saying?
The idea that like she probably took it a little too far, like the scene in Precious.
Yeah,
the scene in Precious where she was nominated for basically, did she win the Oscar that year?
No,
she did not.
Mariah Carey.
She did not. She was up
no,
for it. She was
girl,
up for it.
The other girl from Soul Plane.
If she would have changed her name to Oscar winning.
No, the
Academy
no the one
winning.
The woman
right,
who won
true.
Was
we would
the,
know it from her name.
Who was the one who won from Soul Plane?
From Soul Plane. Oh,
she
yeah.
won for Soul
oh,
Plane.
Not Moesha.
Is that Lunel?
Not Moana. Not Moesha.
Tiffany Haddish.
No, it's the woman from.
Going.
I know who you're talking. The woman she
Leslie.
She did not shave her legs for the Oscars.
Octavia Spencer.
No.
Monique.
Thank you.
I know.
Have you ever worked with Monique?
I think we just named three of Tyler Perry's cast, by the way. No, I haven't met most of
them. Monique was great in that. And Octavia Spencer's great in everything.
Everything. Everything.
All right.
Hidden Figures.
Let's go back to this. Last night, police returned the inflatables. I hope they did it in the middle of the night and didn't even let the kids
That would have been the greatest thing.
Yes.
Return in the middle of the night. Look, this is all the last three days we're all
We asked Santa and he brought him back.
Cindy Meyer said, Christmas is not about decorations in the yard or the tree. It's about family. I would beg to differ since she wanted these decorations back more than anything.
Yeah, if it's about family, then who gives a shit about your dumb decorations?
No, you've kind
of. By the way, who's your family? And if you're going to call someone the Grinch, you can't just do the first half of the movie. The second half of the movie is that he puts everything back.
Right.
Redemption. So if he didn't put it back, you can't really call him the Grinch.
Right.
Fitzgerald
is a good guy.
Admitted to police it was a drunken mistake. They wrote it twice, which makes me hope he kept saying it over
it
and over.
It was a mistake.
Yes.
It was a mistake. I was a mistake.
Wait, what?
What?
Did you say I was?
You were.
I don't have a D at the end of my name.
It was a mistake. What if the Grinch
himself?
You know
they got it wrong when they booked him, too.
Now imagine the Grinch, that movie, if the Grinch was drunk.
That's a much different movie. Now you're kind of understanding everything, what he's doing, what he's feeling.
He's trying to.
He's on top of a mountain yelling at his dog.
This guy's Fitzgerald, like a Buffalo Bills fan.
Was arrested and charged with grand theft. He's since bonded out of the Pinellas County Jail.
Is that grand theft? That's grand
theft. Well, I'm going to ask you guys, we have two fun quick quiz questions. Okay, first one up. Mm-hmm. The inflatables were valued at how much money?
Coming to you with an overview to find out how much damage did they do.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
You can either go first, last.
Yep.
We're all going to guess, me, you, and Jay, or in the second slot, which we call the TIG slot, because she said go. She wanted to go second.
Right.
She wanted to go between you guys.
Right. You want to go first, second, or TIG?
Oh, interesting. I'm going to go first.
Okay. How much money were the three inflatables valued at? T-Rex, Shark, Penguin Island.
I'm going to say $1,500.
Okay. $1,500, Randy or Jay?
Wow. That's a lot. I'm going to say $600.
$600 from Randy Sklar.
$380. Okay. Guess along at home.
We're going to play one more quick quiz after this one, but I can tell you now, the inflatables of the shark, which was definitely a Halloween decoration.
$1,200.
Penguin and
what'd you say,
T-Rex?
$1,200.
Okay.
But I originally said $1,500, but I'm lowering
We're valued at $450.
Yeah! $600. You're the closest.
70 off. 70 off.
Nicely done. All right. So
see, I was tricked because it said grand.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not even a grand.
The Grand Canyon is grand.
Yeah.
That's not grand theft.
Right.
Okay. $100,000 is more grand.
Thank you.
The candy bar is.
That is more grand than that. Grand theft blotto.
Flato.
Grandy Sklar.
Last question is this. Here we go. You can go first, TIG, or third. How old is Michael Fitzgerald?
Now we know what we know about him,
right?
He's old enough to like
steal inflatables in the middle of the night.
And a place to go.
It has his own
place
house.
To go and a driveway to sit in, I'm assuming, cry in.
I'm going
to
go first again.
Okay.
I think I went a little bit too high on my last one, so maybe I'm overcompensating, but I'm thinking 22.
Wow. 22 years old. Got that Florida house.
I can see him being that.
Just old enough to drink, but lonely.
Yeah. I think he's 61.
Randy says 61.
I just, to me, see a guy.
Old man Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald feels like an older name. I'll give you that.
Just a guy who's like has a lawnmower, but it doesn't work.
Right.
Okay. I hear you on that, but I'm not just trying to split the difference for the sake of parody or for the sake of of variety. I'm going to say he's 41 years old.
41 years
Another
old.
Good guess. It feels solid.
41 feels right.
Maybe
to 41, 60.
If he's older, or it could be younger, either way, he committed this crime hoping he would get the interaction with a family have a family.
I could see, this was his way to interact with a family and have a Christmas. But I will say I could see him at every age that we all just said.
I have an image. As you said 22, I'm like,
that wasn't what I was thinking.
I see the 22-year-old Michael Fitzgerald.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm about to tell you his age. And the only thing more shocking when you hear his age is going to be what he looks like.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, is on the Facebook page.
Yes. Join it, for Christ's sake.
If you want to see it,
Dumb People Town on Facebook. You'll get to see all these photos and play along at home. Get your answers in now, because Michael Fitzgerald
is
the Grinch.
He's an old man.
Who's tried to steal Christmas.
No.
Is 30 years old.
Whoa!
Male model.
He's a good-looking guy.
What a tough guy,
What the fuck are you doing getting drunk? I don't have any sympathy for you anymore.
Is that what you were picturing at all?
No.
It's like the Conor McGregor of inflatables.
Look at him.
He kind of looks like Wes Welker.
He could bartend in West Hollywood. He's that good-looking.
Absolutely.
He could work at Abercrombie.
Look at that jawline.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This week I banged 410s and stole some inflatables off of people.
That's it. Right? I mean, he's like the kind of guy who makes Gronk subconscious at a dance floor.
Yeah. Do you think he deflated the things completely?
Hell no, brah. Carried them straight up. Air-filled.
Air-filled, straight down.
Strapped into the
roof.
Stop
me. Just stop me. Anybody stop me. I want a female cop to stop me.
I can't wait.
Can I just say this? From looking at that guy, I'm glad he stole inflatables instead of raping a woman. Because he does seem a little date rapey.
Maybe he raped the inflatable.
Yeah, who knows? Which
all I'm saying is
that a victim?
All I'm saying is that jack-o'-lantern did not have any real holes in it.
Yeah.
Until.
The dinosaur did, though. Man, girl, your pussy extinct.
Hey.
That's not even
nice to say to a dinosaur. I mean, it's true, and it is 100% true. It is extinct.
But still, you don't want to say that.
That's story one, y'all.
Story one, down in the books. That's how we do. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, story two, what are we looking at in story two?
Oh, a guy who committed a big crime with no follow through.
There we go. I love it. That's part of Dumb People Town, is like the lack of pre-planning. We're with Tony Hinchcliffe. We'll be back with more Dumb People Town right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Want to also shout out, this is going all throughout December. You are in a challenge with Jeremiah Watkins, the hilarious Jeremiah Watkins, who can gain the most weight. Now, you're doing it in a way to actually be a healthy person. So you're exercising and doing it the right way.
You're drinking tons of protein shakes. Yep. What are you doing?
Yep, protein shakes, lots of carbs at night, fat in the morning, protein.
And he is just trying to get fat. He's married. He's done. He's actually, he's like, I don't have to actually look good for anything.
Yeah.
He's actually trying to get fat.
So you're still single.
No, I'm married. I just got married a month ago.
Did you get married?
Yeah, I got married.
Congratulations.
You're off the market too.
Yep.
Holy crap.
We're both just giving up.
What does your husband think about you doing this?
He's very proud of me. It's actually Jeremiah. We married each other.
He's been very quiet about it.
What does your wife...
And you guys are trying to get pregnant.
What does your wife think about you doing this challenge?
My wife loves it.
She loves it. She's like...
We are truly concerned for Jeremiah's health. Like, we...
He's put 15 pounds on.
This is like... And Jeremiah is... What you know about Jeremiah Watkins, if you know or don't know him, he's a part of the roast battle.
Part of the All Negro Wave. Part of Kill Tony.
Plays the saxophone in the band.
Goddamn.
That's another part of the show. By the way, another great part. A hilarious component to Kill Tony.
He is
Tony
a part of
band.
Three of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Like the Roast Battle, Kill Tony, and Goddamn Comedy Jam.
And so are you. I've seen you in all three.
Yep.
Careless Whisper.
At Moon Tower.
Holy shit.
One of the hardest songs to possibly sing.
Yeah,
it is.
There was a point where I was like, he can't get up this ladder.
And then you know what? Yeah. You couldn't.
So it's really hard when it's late at night and you've been drinking and hanging out.
So your wife is mad. Okay, she's not mad, but concerned about Jeremiah as well.
Jeremiah. And we're watching his Instagram and his stories and stuff, and it's just insane. I thought what you were going to say was Jeremiah will do anything to make people laugh.
He's physical and committed to every. You watch him do a comedy bit, he gets one. I've never seen commitment like that. He is going to throw that commitment
into
the
episode before yesterday, a week ago on Kill Tony. He ate throughout the episode. The band's characters were built around his weight gain challenge.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the episode, on the air, live on the main stage of the historical comedy store, he threw up.
Of course.
Crowd goes crazy. I mean, he's just projectile vomiting. Rick Kozik from Jackass had just given him a birthday cake after he'd eaten chicken and bread and pizza and cereal
that
and
is
ice cream.
He's going to hurt himself.
It's getting weird.
Our buddy Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny, he gained
60 pounds, I believe, for the show,
told us, like, it's just, you know, you got to eat donuts.
He was like, by the way, it was super easy. He was like, I thought it was going to be hard. It was way fucking easier than I thought it would be.
Wow. But he's older than Jeremiah. Jeremiah is only 27, 28?
No, he's like 29.
Yeah. 29. How old are you?
33.
Okay. So you guys are younger. You can bounce back. I think Rob was like closer to 40 when he was doing it.
It's crazy.
So that's a little crazier and more like you guys can still do this crazy challenge for a month and not develop adult onset diabetes. Like 7 years later, then
when you say you guys, you just mean Jeremiah, because he's actually getting in great shape.
Oh yeah, you're
Jeremiah
getting great
woke
shape.
Up yesterday and his face was swollen.
Yeah.
Like swollen. Like his eyes were swollen and like he looked like somebody put salt on him before he went to bed.
it's like supersized.
It's like he went to bed. It's like a month ago he was young Haley Joel Osment and now he's like today Haley Joel Osment.
And even in Supersize Me, he was eating McDonald's, which is horrible for you, but Jeremiah is eating stuff that has like a ton of preservatives in it.
Yeah, all no, bad. You understand that all the things that aren't actual natural things for you to eat are going to mess with your system and kill you.
And what's the wager?
Well, if I win, he has to shave his hair on stage during Kill Tony.
Oh my God.
Which is insane because his hair is the
golden
goose.
I don't know if you're
going
to win. So yeah. You have to put on more weight than he puts on. You're not going
to
put on
more
weight.
And if he wins, which is more than likely going
to happen.
What
do you have to shave?
He gets to host Kill Tony, and I have to sit with the band and play a character with them.
That will be so fun for you.
Both fun.
Yeah.
Both great stunts.
You should play Joe Piscopo. Because you could eventually.
Because you are getting ripped. Tune in to Kill Tony and check his Instagram.
If you haven't checked the podcast out, or if you haven't seen it live, is it on the website to be able to see where you can?
Totally. It streams live at deathsquad.tv, and you can see it at the Comedy Store, and we're going to be traveling it around.
That's what I'm saying. I saw it live at Moon Tower last year, and it was one of my favorite.
Electric.
First of all, crazy that guy got up and pushed Jeremiah. That was
on
insane.
Mushrooms.
Well, the idea.
I mean, had you been working out like then, like you are,
I
could have
handled
his ass.
I would have done. I would have jumped over Big J Okerson.
Big J Okerson, which is a big jump, by the way.
By the way, Big J did not make a move to do anything to try and help.
At the end, he did. Right at the
last second. But at first, he was like, let's see how this plays out.
But the idea that everybody who shows up to your show, and this is what I kind of love about, and we're starting to do with live Dumb People Town Hall meetings, is that you get an opportunity to potentially, so people show up at the show with like more angst than normally showing up to a show because their name could get pulled out of the bowl and then boom, you're up there.
Yeah.
So at a moment's notice, you could be up in front of everybody doing your thing. So there is a level of nerves.
Yeah.
There's an energy that buzzes through the crowd of that show that is amazing.
It's like I went to a show in an open mic.
Broke out. And it is in the most beautiful way. But I actually also think about the show that one of the reasons why I love it is that I do think you and we certainly try to, when we come on the show, try to make the comedians better.
Yeah.
Yeah, give good advice.
Yeah. It's
we
a
always
big part
do.
Of it.
Like, I feel like sometimes we'll talk to people and we'll be like, in my mind, when they walk off the stage, I'm like, they don't even realize we just saved them 9 months.
Yeah.
9 months of doing that same stupid thing that they just did.
Yeah.
We just said, cut that out and focus on this. And we just saved you 9 months.
And you have to factor in the listeners that do comedy all around the world, the young bucks that take the same lessons from that thing.
Say,
like,
wait,
oh, I
do
that.
I have a joke
shit.
That's kind of like that. Maybe I should cut
or,
that
or,
out.
Or what? Wait, I start with a true story about something from my life and a cool observation. And then I go off into some weird thing that has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Why did I leave the truth? I had the truth right there, and it was killing. And then I go into this other thing. I mean, that's what I feel like we come back to.
Sometimes if you want to find something good, you got to get out of safety harbor. You know what
I
mean? Get a little dangerous.
A great way to come back to it, Dan. What do we have for
all
a
right,
second
this was
story?
Sent in by Clinton Lawrence at Clinton790. He, like everybody on these shows, just hashtags dumppeopletown at Daniel Van Kirk.
That's how
I find the stories.
Clinton did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Clinton Lawrence?
Lawrence did.
No, he definitely did not.
Depends what your definition of Lawrence is.
790. Santa Ana, California. Mm-hmm. A Southern California man suspected of stealing a Ferrari was arrested after asking for gas money. This is what I'm talking about.
This is
if you're gonna steal a Ferrari.
So there's two parts to any theft. There are two parts to the crime. There's the crime, and then you also have to have an equally hatched plan for the getaway.
Like, I don't think that Billy the Kid, because he's a kid, you know, you think about Billy the Kid, like
was
most
like
kids.
Six?
No, Billy the Kid was eight. Probably like, what, 13, 14, maybe?
When he first shot that guy?
Was he 8?
Yeah, I think he was like young teens.
I have like kids that are 10, 12 years old. Like, I think about them. Like, my daughter I was just on the phone with her. She was walking from the junior high school over to the high school, and her friend didn't have a phone. And it was like the world was coming to an end because her friend was on the other side of the school. She had no way to get in touch with her. And then she's got to go this way and she was going to walk. And now she can't walk. So I had to, like, from here, organize someone to come pick her up and take her to the thing. She was like, I'm walking there this afternoon, but didn't understand all the things you needed to do to pull that off. I think Billy the Kid thought because he was a kid that I'm just going to rob one bank and this is what I'm going to do. And then didn't realize that that's the life of crime. Once you're on the run, you're fucked.
Yeah.
He didn't get that. And then he probably had a miserable life after that.
Or a badass life.
I don't know.
Hey,
but this guy steals a Ferrari and doesn't have money for gas. First of all, it's got to be premium, right?
You gotta get.
I guess
money.
You gotta get premium. Yeah.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Well, you can't put regular.
I'm not even gonna make a joke.
Yeah, you gotta put regular.
The thought of putting unleaded in a Ferrari is just frightening to me.
Yeah.
But who's like?
But he probably would. This fucking guy stole a Ferrari without gas money.
Like, if you're gonna
dummy.
Steal for the life you want. Be able to back it up once you have it.
He didn't think it through.
Santa Ana police arrested.
He only thought of the theft.
Israel Perez Rangel on November 1st. He pleaded guilty.
Fucking Jew.
Not Jewish.
Not guilty to car theft.
Wow.
I'm going to show you guys a picture of him. They say that here is an undated photo that we could find of Israel Perez Rangel.
Is it a picture of him with the 1967
it's
Borders?
It's weirder. It's him after freshly being beaten up by somebody.
Wow.
Whoa.
This isn't even related to this story.
This
what
is a guy,
happened in that picture?
I think he just got beat up for trying to steal a Lamborghini.
They never have really found peace in Israel.
They never. Rangel.
In Israel.
Rangel.
Israel Perez.
Perez Rangel.
Authorities say the 458 is at 458 Spider was brought into Costa Mesa Service Center and stolen in October after a worker left the key on the passenger seat.
Oh.
Yeah. So somebody who works at this place, here's our other dumb person who's like,
I just love the guy who drops it off is like, you guys will take good care of it?
Yeah, man, we got it, man.
Now here's
what are you talking about, man?
Relax,
we got it,
man.
Relax, bro.
We got it. We got you, bro.
Now here's the craziest part of this story. Steals a Ferrari, right?
Yeah, sure.
No money for gas. Makes you feel like, oh, this guy just impulse. Doesn't even think.
No.
Right.
Listen to this. Security video showed a man, which is
Israel Perez.
Israel.
Rangel.
In a Ferrari jacket walking onto the lot and taking it.
Yeah. He's like, I got the jacket. What more do I need?
But so he was like, if I get this jacket, they're going to think I own a Ferrari.
Right, but why not have money
dicks
for gas?
Who own Ferraris get a Ferrari jacket.
Okay, but the guy, describe for me now, Tony, the guy who has a Ferrari jacket but no Ferrari.
Who is he?
The guy with the Ferrari jacket that doesn't have the Ferrari, I mean, wow, usually an Uber driver or something like that, like an Uber X driver, a Camry or Corolla something like that.
Is your other car a Ferrari?
No.
But I'm telling you guys, he also has a keychain,
a number of spritzes. How many spritzes of cologne does that guy put on?
Ferrari jacket, no Ferrari.
Between passengers riding in his Uber.
24.
There you go.
Lots
24
of...
straight spritzes.
According to this article... Israel
Perez Rangel.
Perez Rangel puts 23 spritzes of cologne.
Why would they document that?
Santa Ana Police Corporal Anthony Bertanga said officers subsequently responded to a report of a Ferrari driving erratically and stopped at an intersection, and probably because he doesn't know how to drive it, and to another call that the driver was asking for gas money.
Where?
The exotic car was spotted at a gas station where the driver ran off and was found and arrested later behind bushes near a Holiday Inn. Did you steal that Ferrari? No, I did hide out next to a Holiday Inn.
Part of me wants it not to.
Yeah, I did spread a Holiday Inn.
Not at the Spritz Carlton.
Not a Holodome.
Spritz
Carlton. Do you remember Holodomes?
I do remember Holodomes, and it was all about the ping pong.
Spritz Carlton is
fantastic. It's Hotel at Tony jokes. Hinchcliffe. If you want to send any complaints.
The Los Angeles Times says the car was trashed with emblems torn from the body, cracked fins, and a destroyed gearbox. Why steal this car and then ruin it?
Cracked fins. This sounds like the inflatable shark from Earth.
Exactly. We're back to that. Same story.
I'm going
to
ask you guys, how much was the Ferrari valued at that he stole?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to give you a hint. Okay.
No, don't give any hints.
Okay.
Let's just straight up do it.
I'll read it after you guys give a guess. What position would you like to enter this contest in, Tony?
I'm
going to
go number one again.
Okay.
Right. I like it like this.
He's feeling it.
I'm just going to stay in the zone.
A 450 or 458 Spider Ferrari.
What year?
It doesn't say, but I'm going to assume it's very new.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go with $170,000.
$170,000.
You know, I'm not going to take my Ferrari to the dealership that will always take care of me with this. I'm going to run to this other place over here in Santa Clara.
It's like
because,
a specialty
care I'll just let them take care of it.
What's the worst that could happen?
Would you say 176?
170 flat.
170 flat. I think it's
$120,000.
Because it has depreciated a little bit.
All right. Jason Sklar.
$240,000.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, there are people listening to this quiz shaking their heads.
At us?
Yes.
Why?
Because the estimated value of a Spider 2 or 458 Spider Ferrari is $300,000.
What?
See, I knew. I was on the way. I was on the road to find out.
Okay, that tells you that we're all just comics working.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even as, like, Joe Rogan knows how much a Ferrari 450.
How much for the jacket?
Is that the best one? That's what the guy said before he stole it.
$100,000.
The Daily Times said insurers paid the owner who used the money to buy a 2018 Lamborghini Huracan. So he made out well on this deal, but he switched from Ferrari to Lamborghini.
It's like, you know.
That's story number two, guys.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Yes. We'll have story number three. It involves an animal in a liquor store.
I
love it.
All the
now
ingredients
you're talking.
For a great moment.
I imagine that most of the animals that come around at night are slightly drunk.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of squirrels going up a fence the other day, and I was like, one of them is wasted.
Yeah.
On what? I don't know. Just ground wine.
Cough syrup.
Cough syrup, maybe. We don't know. All right, let's. We'll get to that story after the break. We got Tony Hinchcliffe with us.
Yeah.
Tony Hinchcliffe with us. We'll be back with more Dumb People Town right after.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to Dumb People Town. You do know that your name is dangerously close to... the Andy Kaufman character, Tony Clifton.
Yes.
Another famous comedian.
What if this is the character that Bob Zmuda is now trying to portray, is Tony Hinchcliffe?
And he's building a career, a solid comedy career, a great comedy career of a young comedian, only to, in the end, reveal that it is, in fact, Bob Zmuda.
Have you guys seen the Jim Carrey documentary on Netflix?
Jim and Andy?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I want to see it.
You didn't
really
see it?
Do.
Jay,
I have yet to see
Tony, what did you think of it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I loved it, too.
Dude, it's real. I feel like it's the first time we've really gotten insight into Jim Carrey. Like,
do you think that that's the role that really sent him off on this whole thing?
I think he didn't talk about, you know, making a ton of money and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, I would have loved to have seen him talk more about, like, what he was really going through that period of having to make decisions on what to work on. But other than that, to see how insane he was and how... I think another thing interesting about that documentary is that it's... I felt an implication that he thought he was going to win Oscars and stuff, and that's what the documentary that he decided to shoot was actually going to be about, was about him being in character and being so methodical and everything, and we find out, you know, years and years and years later that it just wasn't that way. It wasn't looked at.
The crazy thing was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that I felt like he deserved Oscar. Like,
the crazy thing about that is
that's such an unbelievable movie.
He hated that movie. Or
his life was actually in that place. So again, he didn't really have to go anywhere else. So it was more of the same. He was just as true to that character because that's what he felt like.
I rewatched that movie recently.
So
that movie holds up.
First of all, David Cross, unbelievable in it. And the other thing about it that was great about that movie is you saw that when the vision of the director is stronger than the star itself, and he has to adhere to what Michel Gondry is doing. Michel Gondry is like, this is how you have to be. I want you to basically, you, Jim Carrey, the most animated actor, comedy actor of our time, I'm going to make you throw every single line away. Every single fucking line. You got to eat it, and you got to throw it away, and you can't put
it
any
one of my favorite. I mean, it was essentially the same performance he gave in Ace Ventura. But, I mean, other than that,
it was a little Ace Ventura.
Tony will back
still.
Me up on this. There's parts. So when that movie came out, he was still, like, the Majestic, the Mask, Dumb and Dumber, like, all of these, like... And then you watch him be interviewed around that time by Oprah Winfrey, and you're like, wow, you are so fucking fake. Like, he was no way... He thought he was, like, being this thing he was supposed to be, and you can see the difference.
Yeah.
But... there's parts in that where he's as Tony Clifton. They're like, hey, will you tell Jim something? He's like, no, I'm not going to tell Jim. He's a coward. He's a coward. He wants everybody to like him. He's a piece of shit who just wants people to like him. He's not trying to do anything real in his life. And he was saying all these things about himself.
That he probably thinks about himself, as a different
and
character.
And he hadn't dealt with any of that yet.
Oh, my God.
And the director had to talk to sometimes Tony or Andy or Jim and talk about the other people.
Yeah. And one time he was like, he begged Clifton to have Jim call him, and because he couldn't talk, Jim was never around, and so then Jim called him that night as himself and was like, hey, Tony said you wanted to talk to me, and he's like, yeah, you know, I just, it's so hard right now, it's so hard. And then he goes, well, do you want me, Jim said to him, this is in the documentary, he goes, well, you could fire them, you could fire Andy and Tony, because I could probably do a good impression of them if you want me to come do the role.
Yeah.
And the director's like, no, we don't have to fire them. I just wanted to talk to Jim. it's crazy.
He says it's sort of fun to work with them or something like that. Do you feel like
you would ever have broken and been like, okay, look, it's me. I realize I've gone too far.
Yes.
Dude, there's parts where you're like, how do you not finally be like, okay, I'm sorry. But he just keeps going.
I think because
he's on a whole different level.
Right. Yeah. He's on another level. And I think, you know, the crazy thing is that he wasn't being Jim Carrey. In that instance, he was trying to be as Andy Kaufman.
No, he still thinks he was.
Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then Andy
Kaufman took over his body and flew through him. And sometimes maybe that's what you need to give the performance that he gave. I actually thought he did a really good performance.
Another crazy thing you'll see in this documentary is a lot of Andy's family and agents and managers and stuff hanging out with Jim, like totally just...
treating him like it is
Andy's dad.
Right. Well, they're getting joy out of...
They're not trying
to make Jim happy. They're using it for themselves, like really treating it.
So there is something to that. I will say this, and then we'll move on to this last story. Because our buddy Gar Reines, do you know the batting stance guy? Have you ever seen him? He's phenomenal. He can do
every batting stance.
It's like
in the
greatest.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, go watch his, and I recommend to everybody who's listening to this, go watch his performance on Letterman. You can find it very easily. He makes Dave laugh so hard. He does all the idiosyncrasies that the batters do and just makes it really
funny.
And
every single thing that he does interprets it as a joke. It's unbelievable.
So he over-exaggerates, but in just the best way, and nails it. So he was doing something down in, I want to say, North Carolina, and it was like a corporate gig. The way we would do a corporate gig, he was doing it, and there were some ex-ball players and stuff there, and he, at a certain point, just opens it up to the audience and says,
who do you want to see?
Who do you want to see? If you shout it out, I'll do it. And someone said, Willie Stargell. He's like, all right, I don't do a great Willie Stargell, but, you know, and he starts doing like a Pops Willie Stargell thing, and he does the famous home run where he jumps up in the air, and he, of course, nailed it. But in his own brain, he's like, that's not the best one that I do. And a woman comes running down from the back of the room.
A beautiful woman.
Beautiful black woman in like her
50s.
Early 50s. Comes running down from the back of the room, holds up her phone and says, do it again, and records him doing it. And he's like, okay. And he does it again and she leaves. And then after the show, people are coming up to him after the show and he's like, sees this woman. He said, no one's ever done that to me. I got to tell you that. That is amazing that impression resonated with you so much. She came up to him and gave him the biggest hug and would not let go. He was like, longer than family members have hugged me. And he's a very loving person. And she said, that was my husband.
Wow.
She said, for the time that you were just screwing around and doing him up there, in the moments up there, I felt like I was watching him again. I felt like he was back to life because he had died. Unbelievable. Right. So I can understand.
Talk about angels in the outfield. Story gave me the willies.
Story gave me the folks. All right, so I can understand why that is what it is, and
thank
why
you,
they
thank you,
that
Tony, for making light of that beautiful story.
thank you for undercutting it. All right, let's get. We got one more story. Let's get to it.
Here we go. Sent it by Chris Raggard.
Tony's got to leave. He's got to work out again.
At Chris Raggard, RAGGARD.
Yeah.
Okaloosa Island. Okaloosa?
Maybe.
You know what I guarantee? You know what I love about Dumb People Town? They always tell me how to say it right.
There you go. Okaloosa.
Okaloosa.
I think it's Okaloosa. To me,
and I mean that sincerely. Yeah. I have no idea.
Okaloosa.
Oculusa.
We're going back to back on words.
Eye stuff. Oculusa.
And opossum. Did you guys know that the correct term for possum is opossum?
Yeah.
Opossum, yeah.
I had heard that before.
Well, we just don't, generally, we don't care. It's like the D in Fitzgerald.
You're playing a game of an opossum.
Right. Nobody does that, right?
No.
It's just possum.
Yeah. I always thought it was possum.
Me too.
Playing possum.
It's an opossum that snuck into a liquor store and apparently helped itself to a few drinks the day after Thanksgiving.
Damn.
This is what I think. I think all those animals are a little fucked up.
No, man. Being with family is hard.
Hearing about this one, I think it's pronounced opossum.
Opossum.
What'd you do this time?
It's a companion. It's a companion show to BoJack Horseman. Opossum.
Opossum.
An opossum snuck into a liquor store and apparently helped itself to a few drinks the day after Thanksgiving. Jason, I loved what you said about
Thanksgiving
it.
Is hard. Yeah. You know, you see family, it brings up a lot of stuff. Yeah. Sometimes it's like when I see someone doing comedy and they're not good at it, I'm never like, you're bad. I'm like, comedy's hard.
Comedy's hard.
Look at it from that perspective.
Hard.
Thanksgiving's hard.
Thanksgiving's hard, man.
Michelle Pettis, a wildlife technician.
I thought that was the name of the opossum.
The opossum, Michelle Pettis.
A wildlife technician at the refuge said the juvenile female opossum was brought in by a Fort Wayne Beach police officer on November 24th.
I mean, the toughest part of the story is that she was pregnant.
Help me figure out this place. Look, he said...
opossum babies having opossum babies.
I mean, drinking while having them.
That is a problem in that community.
Said the police officer said a Cash's liquor store employee at... the AJ's on the Bayou location. What are they doing down here?
It's like name of
different store names.
Cash's liquor store employee at the AJ's on the Bayou location.
That is.
This has got to be in New Orleans.
AJ's on the Bayou.
No, it's in Florida.
It's got to be like a shopping center?
Yeah.
And then this liquor store is in the shopping center?
Yes. It's a Cash's liquor store inside AJ's on the Bayou shopping center.
One of the only places where opossums really get their
get their liquor.
Cash's liquor store only accepts Apple Pay.
Yep.
I can't wait to see people go to this
By the way, for the tour. If you have the courage to go to this place, take a picture.
If you can handle opossums drinking in your face.
I love that it's a young female just getting drunk. More like ho-possum.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
that dirty, rotten rodent.
The possum broke in, and an empty bottle of alcohol was found laying next to it the next morning after Thanksgiving. Quote, a worker found the possum up on the shelf next to a cracked bottle of liquor with nothing in it, Pettis said. Assuming the possum drank it all, he brought her to us and we looked her over and she definitely wasn't fully acting normal. I hope that means these cops gave this possum a sobriety test.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Can you follow my finger?
Walk the line. Walk on two legs. On two legs.
Not taking this four-leg shit. Pettis said the opossum
not
appeared
on your front legs.
Disoriented.
Can you imagine? Like, that would be like, not on your stop. Right. Get up. Nope. Get up. Get up.
Pettis,
stop
sir.
Singing.
Sir.
Stop singing.
Ma'am.
Stop singing.
Ma'am.
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 You assholes.
Ma'am. Just do the alphabet starting with M.
Do you know what I had to do yesterday?
Ma'am.
All night I was at that Marshall's trying to find a sweater.
Ma'am.
Ma'am. You're
the sweater fits. If the sweater fits, you must acquit.
You don't even talk to me with rhymes. Pettis said the possum appeared disoriented, was excessively salivating, and appeared to be pale. That is also the way we've described so many people on Stories
That's
and Dumb People.
That was
how
me
do
on
we know? How do they know what opossums normally act like and look like?
This could be like regular behavior post-Thanksgiving.
I don't know.
Did they say the type of liquor?
Yeah.
Whiskey, I believe.
Ooh.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I read. It wasn't in this one, but I heard it somewhere else.
But how did it get the bottle open? Like,
it knocked it in, spilled.
All right, okay.
Pettis said the drunken possum was a first for her. She added that the possum, quote, was fairly large. That's why be rude. And was curious as to how she was able to break into the liquor store. She said the possum did not appear to have a hangover. Why? How do you know that?
How do you know that? He has to tell you if he has a hangover. Because
it's a she, and she was probably never said shh to anybody.
Right. Cash Moore, who owns the liquor store.
What?
Cash Moore's liquor store would have been better than Cash's liquor store.
Cash Moore is a better name than Cash Levy.
Right.
And that's a great name.
Said the possum had gotten into a bottle of bourbon. There it was.
Okay.
Moore added that as far as he knew, she was 21 years old. We don't need your jokes,
that
sir.
Is a terrible joke. God.
Say it. Say it, Jay. Comedy's hard.
I said comedy's hard. I was going to say that's what Roy Moore said.
I checked your ID.
Exactly what Roy Moore said.
Cash Moore, the greatest Moore we've met.
As far as I know,
Cash Moore is the Roy Moore of Cash's. All right, fine.
She came in from the outside and was up in the rafters, and when she came through, she knocked a bottle of liquor off the shelf, Moore said. When she got down on the floor, she drank the whole damn bottle. He's pissed about it.
Yeah, just like your Aunt Linda.
Yeah. Could have added that at the end of that sentence.
She knocked it on the floor and drank the whole damn thing.
Whole damn bottle.
So are we saying that the possum's dumb or Cash Moore is dumb?
No, sometimes things also just happen in dumb people town.
But
a possum getting drunk the day after Thanksgiving is a dumb people town occurrence.
Yeah, it is, but I do think he's a little bit dumb for... like trying to be funny about it.
Right.
Like he's being.
Yeah, was a 21-year-old.
I think he was 21. Right.
No, not that's not funny.
Well, he was of age.
It was a she.
It was, you know, these ladies in their bourbon.
Yeah. No, sir, that isn't even appropriate to say on
she
any
didn't
level.
Even bother to shave her legs.
That's, she doesn't need to for you, sir. Also, that's an animal. It wouldn't matter if that was a human, sir.
She just keeps pale. She didn't even wake up when I was banging her.
Let's talk to you more if you're going to say things like that.
Man, no more of that, Cashmore.
Agreed. No more. Agreed. Not in dumb people town.
One could almost say that opossum Mount Cashmore.
Oh. What? Tony. More added.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Is there editing?
No, jokes. It's all in.
It's all in.
More added that, quote, it was the first time in my life he had a possum break into a store and drink his alcohol and that it was pretty unusual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means he's grading it against other things.
Pretty unusual? This would be the story.
If it's the first time it's happened in your life, it is remarkably unusual.
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Quote, we'll get out of here on this from Cashmore. But it just goes to show that even the animals are impressed with caches. No, it proves that anyone could come steal from you.
So that's he's trying to make a commercial out of it.
Yeah. Right.
He's trying to make this about
even
his
wildlife wants to
come
use
to my shitty liquor store.
I know.
He's just making it about himself.
Yeah.
Cashmore.
I don't
he's like, a lot of third person like, from Cashmore, I feel like.
It's like when Trump sees like blacks for Trump people in the audience. And that's what Cashmore's doing. He's like, opossums for cash.
Let's build on this. Let's build on it. Let's build a whole campaign around it.
No, you paid that guy to sit there. He's not there for you.
And they stole your liquor.
Right. So how anyway, is that possible? No, I think you have a horrible security system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Are you promoting the fact that your place is easy to break into?
Yep.
That's essentially what you're promoting. Yep.
Criminals can't keep their hands off of Cashmore's liquor
at AJ's by the bayou
at AJ's on the bayou
in Okaloosa, Florida.
Too many locations. Right.
Enough with the laughter. Come through the rafters
there
at Cash's.
There it is.
We have a huge security breach.
Cash, no one was laughing. I don't understand why you would bring that up.
If you're small and tiny, get off your hiney and come on down to Cash.
Do you want to drink like you're awesome? Then be an opossum.
I mean, Tony, you need to get into some sort of copywriting.
Are you filled with dirty rashes? Then get your liquor at Cash's.
Yeah.
Are you a dirty opossum whore? Well, meet my friend, Cashmore.
Okay.
Well, my name's Cashmore. Wow.
That's it.
Look
we
at that.
We fucking got into the animal kingdom's dumbness.
Yeah. We started out with an inflatable shark and ended with a drunk possum.
I can't believe that we're done and that the opossum was 21.
Keep shooting it.
He is just a sniper. All right, well, before we get out of here, speaking of drinking and getting drunk and not really...
I imagine this guy probably has gotten drunk with an opossum or two.
Probably.
Or some, like, he's definitely somebody...
Or he's played one in a movie.
Or fed... Yeah, didn't he... Wasn't Rango an opossum?
No, Rango
is a gecko.
It's a lizard.
All right, whatever.
It's a lizard.
All right. A new sport with a gentleman who is trying to
get a league off the ground.
I don't know if this is the direction he should go in, given the problems he's had.
Yes.
But he... With him, anything is possible. He's a $20 million man as far as movies are concerned.
Johnny Depp.
Captain Jack Sparrow. Johnny Depp, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was just sitting outside wondering when I was going to come in.
Oh, you're in. You're in, man. You're totally in. We didn't want to make you wait at all. Now, you have an idea for a whole new sport.
Absolutely.
You feel like might...
Well, it's the same sport with a different twist on it.
But might revolutionize the world of sports.
Yeah, it's lingerie hockey.
Wait, hold on a second. That... I don't want to, you know... poke a hole in already what seems
no,
like
no, I want to hear it. Let's hear it.
Lingerie hockey is basically the same thing as hockey with lingerie.
Yeah.
But what you would want to do is get the women involved in...
Of course it'd be women.
So
it'd
hockey.
Be a female hockey team and they're all wearing lingerie.
Because women can do the same things as men.
Yeah, but the lingerie doesn't... You feel like... Does that make them...
Well, nobody would watch it if you didn't put them in lingerie.
A lot of people would watch women's hockey team is pretty good.
Well, this is my idea, guys. So
right. Sorry,
I'm gonna take the full lead on this one.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking that maybe instead of hockey pucks, we play with bottles of wine.
What?
And we walk around with gold, and maybe have a sail ship in the middle.
Wait, it feels like you're just rehashing Pirates of the Caribbean. I know that was a big success for you, but you want
the new one's coming out later. But I'm not talking about that now.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is a new sport.
Yeah.
For women.
Lingerie.
Because
women in lingerie.
Women are equals.
Yeah, they are. But I think when you put them in lingerie and have them bottle hockey, wine and with
which
gold.
Is why people would want to see it.
Maybe.
It might be why some people want to see it, but it does undercut your statement that women are equals.
Sure, but name the three top things in America right now. Lingerie,
no.
Hockey, Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't know if hockey and lingerie are the number.
Maybe in Canada, you might be right in Canada, but I don't know about.
In America, it's a stated fact. It says right there on CNN, America's wine, hockey, lingerie.
I don't know what CNN you're looking at, but I do
Go.
Wish you look.
CNN Go.
CNN Go is Go. Not a thing.
It's, yeah, it is on Apple TV.
Okay. Well, thank you for, thanks for coming by. I wish you all the luck.
I wish you all the luck. I wish you would watch the sport.
We will. I think, you know, if you're able to get it off and running, lingerie football went out there against all odds.
And it actually worked. But you're proposing lingerie hockey, but proposing that they play no hockey, that they just walk around in lingerie with bottles of wine.
Around the spaceship. Oh, not spaceship. Now you're getting me
all
confused.
See, now we got them all confused.
Yeah, Rand, just walking around with bottles of wine and gold is absurd, but on a spaceship, now it makes sense.
No, he's talking about a pirate ship.
Well, I'll do a spaceship if you guys will watch it.
All right, there you go. Johnny Depp, dude. Thank you for joining us. I don't trust Johnny Depp. I'm not a fan. I agree. I'm on board with all the people who are mad.
He constantly sounds like he's burping.
Or that he won't open his mouth up.
Yep.
Johnny Depp has stopped opening his mouth into a full capacity. I don't trust anyone who can't open their mouth to a full capacity.
Yeah,
sure.
I didn't trust Springsteen for a while when he couldn't do it. Remember when Springsteen couldn't
open
his
fire.
Mouth? Yep. Kanye, when he sang Through the Wire.
Yeah.
That's how the lead singer of Chicago started singing like that, was he got beat up when he was younger.
Yeah.
And they wired his jaw shut and they kept
Peter Cetera?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he started digging deep, hitting higher notes.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. A fun fact from Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yes.
Dude, you were awesome. Thank you for doing this show.
And speaking of Chicago, I'm going to be performing there in the middle of January.
There we go. Are you really
Zanies, yes. Fantastic. Rosemount, which I love. And I'm going to be in Philly the last weekend of Philly at Helium.
Where can people find all of your dates?
All of my dates are TonyHinchcliffe.com, and I'm going absolutely everywhere this year. So
I love it, man. Check
him
out.
And we're bringing Kill Tony on the road.
Check him out and check that out where it's live.
And I'm hoping it's going to be at Moon Tower again. Maybe we can get you guys on and I can play with you guys some.
We will most definitely come do it if you need people on the panel.
Yes.
And we will definitely have you come join us on the old ping pong. And yes, let's make that happen. Guys, get your tickets for the live Dumb People Town, which will be at Sketchfest in San Francisco on Sunday the 21st. We're doing a headline set at Cafe du Nord, I believe, the night before. But come check that out. It's going to be 1 p.m. We're going to try and sell that thing out at Cobb's Comedy Club. It's going to be a blast. And then in New York.
In February.
I think that show is selling out, and we will add a second one. We haven't announced who it will be yet, but I believe that show is selling out at the Bell House on February 25th. That's a Sunday night in New York. We're doing it there. And then, of course, at Moon Tower and beyond. We have good things coming up. So, guys, we got to get back to work.
Dum, 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 dum.